a switch.
Welcome to episode number 143 of the Sane Asylum. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. Some call me the G-Man. I want to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day weekend. It's the kickoff to summer and also honoring all the well-intentioned men who gave their lives in service to this nation. And are you guys hearing that?
No. The mic's open. Yeah, okay. It's supposed to be going to this thing and it just won't connect. I'm having a bit of issues. I've been trying to do it. I don't have a headset.
Okay, we'll just have to soldier through. So, John Friend, the regular co-host, my friend, your friend, John Friend, is off tonight, but in his place, two amazing guests, the courageous nationalists, one black, one white, who are literally trying to, let's see, let's do it like that. There they are. Dave Gahari. The longtime man, a truth teller, goes all the way back to taking on the New York Stock Exchange, getting sued and winning. And since then, he's been a journalist, a broadcaster, and now a publisher of must-read books, including the Ayo Kamathi's phenomenal new book, Jews Are the Problem. So I'm honored to have both these courageous men because they're now up through five episodes. I just watched episode 5, God and Morality, right before the show. Man, is that good? Really good. And last week, media was just as good. And now you've got 5 under your belt, going to 8. And hopefully there'll be a lot more because this kind of courageous truth-telling must be done. So welcome, Dave, and welcome, Ayo. And Dave, how's it all going? What are people telling you when they get to see these phenomenal episodes of inblackandwhite.net? They're all at your website, inblackandwhite.net.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Giuseppe. Am I coming through okay?
Yep, you sound great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, it really is like it's in flux. So Ayo is really tuned into this stuff. And we're looking at it as it's unfolding in real time. And looking at, you know, the emails we get from folks who have seen them, looking at the comments, which are not on in blackandwhite.net, but are on Odyssey. So if you go to Odyssey, Odyssey.com, and you do a search for In Black and White, In Black and White, no spaces, then you will see the comments. And I think with Odyssey, you have to, like, join to make a comment. I think you have to join to do just about anything there. But
yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at any rate, watching it unfold the way that it has, Io and I were just talking about this. It seems like something's about to pop. Something's about to happen.
Yeah.
We've heard, obviously, a variety of comments, almost all of them positive, except for your occasional mental case. what folks are saying is that, and you've said this before, Giuseppe, as well, something like this has never been done. And of course, you know, when we first started it, you know, that was one of the main things that Io was talking about. Like, this has never been done before.
Right.
And it's right. And I've said it before, you know, he's a really bright guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
He, you know, he understands, you know, what we're doing here. And I think he's in tune with it. And in many ways, more in tune with it than I am. And that's because I'm a baby boomer. No, I'm kidding. But because boomers don't know anything.
You're actually Generation Jones, if you look at it. The as am I. The last 5-6 years of the baby boomers are like the predecessors of the next one, which I forget what it's called. But, I mean, we weren't the ones who inherited millions of dollars. We're the ones who are more like the I forget what the one is. But that's for sure. We're Gen Jones. We're not boomers. Okay.
Sure. I'll wait till he comes aboard, and continue.
Well,
sure.
He should be here any second. So
yeah, that's fine.
But it's exciting, Dave, that almost all of the feedback that you're getting is positive. And what I'm impressed with is when I'm doing research for my three shows each week, I have a whole slew of websites and various news feeds that I monitor to pick out the choice clips. And you guys are showing up in all kinds of places. You know, you're probably being rebroadcast on 100 different BitChute channels and other, so that's very encouraging. So that's really a good sign.
Yeah. Yes. And of course, wouldn't know that if you know, you didn't tell me that, because I'm not looking around to see where we're at. I do know that you know, there are a few folks who have let us know that they are putting it on their BitChute or Rumble or Odyssey, which is great. We're really only on Odyssey, you know, the full-length episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on YouTube, just the trailers,
mm-hmm.
and we're on BitChute, just the trailers. I tried to create an account on Rumble, but they refused to send the verification email.
Of course, that's now owned by a woke Hasidic... are not Hasidic, Talmudic type, so not surprising.
Yeah.
But the good news is I'm rebroadcasting all your shows, including on Facebook, including on Rumble and Odyssey and Twitter live on Mondays or Tuesdays, so we're getting your scene that way as well, which is
pretty cool. Oh, awesome. Thank you. Let me ask Io. Yeah, right. I'm going to ask him about him getting called. Maybe he's not hearing it for some reason. Let me see what he says.
Well, in the meantime, Sam, why don't we play clip one, which is the trailer to last week's episode 4 called Media.
Norman Lear, I think, shows it best. Norman Lear does good times with nothing ever good that ever happened. He does the Jeffersons. So these things, if you look at them, there's some horrible messaging in them about who black people are. Some good pieces, but most of those good pieces he was fighting against. But we never looked at the fact that Norman Lear also made Archie Bunker. Now, Archie Bunker was a depiction of the redneck, white, you know, poor, racist. But he said in the interview, I made Archie Bunker off of my father.
And that's why they have blacks and whites at each other's throats, because they need to weaken us via the media, continuing to send those poison messages out to everybody. It can't help but have an impact on you.
Well, there you go, Dave. As we wait for Io to rejoin us, it's stunning when, you know, there's my favorite phrase of the many that I've come across is the Russian proverb, six words, fish swim, birds fly, and Jews lie. And they're like Janus, the two-faced god of Roman lore, that out of one side of their mouth, they're saying, oh, poor us, we're such victims. And then out of the other side of the mouth, they're crowing, we control the media, we control the government, we control, like that low-life demon BB Nutty A-hole used to bring his dirty laundry when he came and visited as prime minister, because he just wanted the goyim and his disgusting subhuman wife to have their underwear and everything washed by goyim, right? I mean, that's so they're literally genetically schizophrenic that way. It's really something else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's somebody, you know, because I just did the D&D show, right?
Yep.
So I just did the Dave and Duke call-in show. There he is.
There he is. He's back. Welcome back.
The man of the hour. And somebody said that, and it's true, you know, and Io and I have talked about this in one of the episodes, because they never got the memo that they should not have sex with their cousins. If I was an Ashkenazi Jew and I wanted to marry an Ashkenazi Jew, we would be required by law to have a series of genetic tests, genetic panel. Because of the inbreeding, which is explained by scientists using the term the founder effect. That's inbreeding. Because of the founder effect, you are susceptible to share, you know, scores and scores of genetic diseases. You know, but these Jews want to keep it in the family, obviously. Io found a great clip of Rothschild talking just about that. You'll see that in an upcoming episode. But somebody said that because one of the diseases that they share, and somebody said this in the chat on D&D, the Dave and Duke call-in show just before this show, said, you know, they are susceptible to Asperger's and other diseases like that.
Right.
Which puts them in a position to, you know, not have the empathy that someone might exhibit without the Asperger's. And I have an autistic son. My middle son has autism. Mm-hmm. And that's a catch-all term. But I mean, the actual diagnosis isn't autism, but it's chronic static encephalopathy. So mm-hmm. that's like, you know, permanent, not getting better brain damage. So that's what autism is. So these Jews have these diseases, and one of them being like autism, Asperger's. And autism means self. So you're self-absorbed. So you can't possibly consider anybody other than what's in your tribe as a human, which right. obviously they even say this in their writings. So yeah, you know, to hear about an organism like Netanyahu and his creature of a wife be holding onto their dirty laundry so they could be washed by a goyim, that lines up exactly with, you know, their behavior. And now that we have Io back, what I was saying was that it seems like now with the five episodes being released – and three more to go. So the way we do it is on Fridays, we release an episode. And on Mondays, we release the trailer for the upcoming episode. So tomorrow, Monday, Memorial Day, we'll be releasing the trailer for the next episode. So we're up to five. So we've got 6, 7, and 8. And again, I've said it before, and Io has said it before, The video team we have makes us look good. So if it wasn't,
I don't know. You guys are highly intelligent and driven. I think you look good because you are good. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, but I appreciate that. But what I meant was, obviously they're slick videos, they're glitzy, they're clearly professional, they're Hollywood grade material.
Yep.
So, if you put somebody in front of a camera and you've got the geniuses that we have doing what they do, you can't help but look good. But it's really turned out, very well. Interesting that, because I have had the experience of having an interview go viral, just by chance. So I know what it's like, and I know what form it takes. These haven't gone viral. And Nio, you missed when you were away that Giuseppe said that he sees they're being spread like to hundreds of websites, like on BitChute and so on.
BitChute channels. I've seen it. You didn't hear me, but to prepare for my shows, I have about, 50, 60 either websites I check daily or news feeds I've created. And I keep coming across your In Black and White shows in places I never thought I'd see it. So it's pretty cool. You guys are definitely word of mouth spreading.
Yeah. And that's kind of how we thought it would unfold. But what we are noticing is that there's something else there. And there's been like almost an imperceptible, shift of, how these are being received. And we don't know what it means, but we know that something's happening. So it might be that they're on the verge of gaining a wider audience, which I think it might be. Interestingly, we haven't had many calls to us or emails to us to, do like what we're doing here. We were just on Gemma O'Doherty's show, which is very good in Ireland. She's being attacked by the poison Jew because she, for some reason, thinks that she could have her own opinion about something. God forbid, which is why I say fuck the Jews and why I continue to say it. Because when somebody tramples on what I can say, they cross the line.
Yep.
And like I said, we're not dealing with Eskimos. It's not Eskimos who are trampling on my free speech. It's not Argentinians. It's not Brazilians. It's not the Chinese. It's not the Russians. It's not the Africans. It's Jews, period. And if 100%. They don't get it, if people don't get that, then they're not even worth talking to. And that's it. So I think that, it's going to pick up. I think the topic naturally scares people because, as we say in the videos, as I say, most cringe when they hear the word Jew because they're programmed by the Jews media to cringe.
Right.
But I think it's going to do well. And I also think that we could look at this as 8 episodes of season 1. And there should be a season 2 and 3 and 4. So this is something we can talk about, but I'm very happy about everything. I'm happy that, we're on your show right now. And before I shut up, I just want to say when we were on Gemma's show that I made a comment that, and I alluded to this in a brief chat we had, Giuseppe, I made a comment about the handful of people who I would want to share a foxhole with in this battle. And it hasn't changed much over the decades. Of course, we have Io, who is, as far as I'm concerned, the quintessential soldier for this battle, because he's sharp, he understands the enemy, and he knows what has to be done. And he doesn't deviate. He's not afraid. And there are only a few people, and I failed to mention one in that show. And I thought about why did I fail to mention that one person, because he's clearly a warrior who fights every day in this battle, and that's you, Giuseppe. And I realized that afterwards. And so you are one of those few. And literally, it's probably two hands worth. We're a small group, but you know what? Like I've said many times before, first rule of political science, a small organized group always defeats a large disorganized one. And we are a small organized group, and we're getting more organized as the time goes on. So thank you, Giuseppe, for everything you do.
Oh, well, that I'm honored. Thank you, sir. And I was fascinated in episode 5 when you broke down, which is God and Morality is the episode, and I urge everyone to catch it. You broke down how you put the pieces together that this is enslavement of all non-Jews, not just Catholics or not just one. But and so to elaborate on, I thought that was a fascinating observation. So elaborate on what led you to come to that conclusion.
You know, it's interesting. I've gone full circle. If this will probably sound strange on the program I'm on, but I'm a very honest person. If you'd have told me even 10 years ago, you'd have bet me and said, look, I'm going to bet you $100,000 and all you got to put up is 10 cents. I bet you that you're going to be out here trying to help white folks save themselves from destruction. I'd have been like, that's the most ridiculous thing you've ever said. I'll put my 10 cent down. I'm about to be rich. You know, I'm not rich. I'm going to have $100,000. Right. Give me a new car. You know, give me a new house. Give me a summer home or something. Because I could never have conceived even 10 years ago, the open public genocide occurring of white folks during my lifetime, that I would see it. And that it wouldn't be war with them coming after us and we're fighting back. No, that this group would actually go out and start doing what they already said that they were going to do. I knew that they had said it. I've read the stuff. It's different to hear it and to read it and to see it. What shocked me, though, and, you know, this is the first time I've said it. You know, I like Giuseppe. It must be something about Giuseppe I like doing. You're not a coward. You know, Dave, when he was saying what he was saying, I said, he's right. I like Giuseppe because you're not a coward. You do a lot of things great. What I like the most, I don't meet a lot of men who I can honestly say are not cowards. You're not a coward.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I realized is in watching it, what's happening now, I'm like, wow. Because I've studied our history and in trying to make sure that my race survives, I have a good grasp, in my opinion, a decent grasp of the history of what has happened to my people here in this country. And what's happening now is like I'm watching a history film, except this time all the things that I know happened are happening to you guys. So, like, I'm ahead of you guys, and I've never said this, but I probably shouldn't be sharing my secrets, but this is what it is. A lot of the things you hear me say, Dave said, oh, this guy's so brilliant, blah, blah, blah. And I know it would sound that way because I have an advantage. I don't know if I want it to be one, but we've gone through this process before. See, we've gone through 400. The difference will be mRNA. That makes it just, that's another level for everybody.
Right.
But everything that you're going through and articulating is happening to you. We've gone through this for 400 years. So I'm literally, what happens is when you all start talking about what's happening to you, even in the beginning, even me, I couldn't hear it because we've seen what you guys do to us. So to hear you talk and complain about the FBI setting you up or planting some evidence on some guys, and it sounds ridiculous to me because that's what we say, because that's what they do to us. And we've been complaining about it for so long and nobody listens that I couldn't even think to listen to somebody white. But I put my ego aside and emotions. And I sat back and started watching and I'm like, whoa, why do I, you know, at first it was like, why are they saying they're using black talking points? And I was thinking, they just copying us. They're copying us. Then I said, no. I said, oh. When you do these things to people, there are natural responses. We just have done it before because it was happening to us. You all are doing the same responses because it's the same thing that's happening. So I sat back and I said, wow, they're just doing the same thing. They'll do it to anybody. And that's what really separates them and lets people who understand this. And again, and I just keep reiterating it because I know that from a black perspective and a white perspective, we see the glass, we look at the diamond, we see it from a different angle. For a black person saying white and Jew, they're like, I don't care about that. They're all white. And I'm like, for the black person who has wisdom and understanding, nah, you can't see it that way. Because if you see it that way, you just think, oh, it's karma coming around. That's what's happening now. No, this ain't karma. This is Juma. This is the Jews are doing now to white people what they've done to everybody else through the use of white folks. But right. Now they're using everybody to attack anyone. So they're using Hispanics to come over the border and attack whites. Right. And it's just true. They're using black people. Whenever white folks start saying, wait a minute, we don't like what you're doing here, throw some black people out there. Or even if it's not black people, call it Black Lives Matter. Got 3 or 4 gay blacks out there and 1,000 white folks. And because the word black is on it, it doesn't matter that we all know George Soros is funding it. It seems black. So use black as a battering ram in the face of white folks to attack white folks. At the same time, they use white folks to attack other people. They're using all of us to attack one another. Use China to blame their pathogens that they manufactured in these labs since the 90s. They've been working on this stuff. Really, they've been working since the 60s. But if you listen to David Martin, Dr. David Martin, but what I did was I took a look back and made an honest assessment and was like, oh, when we see what they're doing in these school systems with this homosexuality and this pedophilia, homophilia being promoted to the children, I get it now. It's just slavery. We've been through slavery. We know. You don't have an option to disagree. It's slavery. White people in America are just being put in the same position we've been put in. Now I understand why we can talk and communicate differently, because it's not one of us going through it and the other one doesn't see it. Now, each one of us sees what is happening to us. But when we talk and we put our egos aside and we listen, then I can hear you actually are being assaulted. I'm not doing it, but I know who is doing it. And I know the assault you're facing because I've been through it. Now I understand what you're saying. It even helps me realize I'm really proud of my people, because I'm like, when I hear you all do it, I'm like, I never thought I would hear white people complaining about the FBI and saying that the law enforcement is crooked and it needs to be changed.
Excellent point, Io. We've reached the bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we'll have two heroic nationalists, white nationalist Dave Gahari, black nationalist Io Kamathi, after these messages. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
High society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls. They're such big balls, and they're dainty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got. My ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls. Oh, I've got.
All right,
big balls.
Welcome back to the Sane Asylum. It's Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're all enjoying it, and especially remembering those who gave their lives in what was certainly an earnest effort. And that chose that song, the infamous AC/DC song, Big Balls, because these two guests each have a pair to be doing what they're doing. And that's Dave Gahari and Ayo Kamathi, and they're doing a phenomenal 8-part series, which is to be embraced as season one in blackandwhite.net, or you can go to Odyssey and watch it directly. But the website, you can watch. The videos are embedded there. And so, Ayo, as we hit the bottom of the hour break, I wasn't sure if you finished your point or not, so please continue.
Sure, I'm going to wrap it up because I can get long with it sometime. But I think this is an important point to make. Again, like I said, I haven't shared this anywhere, so I'm sharing it here. This is the first time I've actually articulated it. Here's the thing. For the first time in my life, I've even thought this way, but I'm actually a tremendous benefit to the white race for this reason. I know what's coming next. I'm not a magic guy. It's just, this is what I do. Like, I can see 3 or 4 steps ahead. Like, each thing that is occurring, I know it's going to occur before it occurs. And I can see it so clearly now, I have the kind of confidence not to say I think I can guess. It's not a guess anymore. I can see it because we've been through it. I know what the next move is going to be. I know what you're going to do as a result, because we've done it. Like, when somebody does this, then you do this. Then somebody does this, and you do this. And if you all are able to open up and interested in hearing it, I can kind of fast forward you through a lot of stuff because it's like we've been through this. It doesn't really work that way, which is kind of why I wrote the book. It's part of why I wrote the book. If you go at the normal pace that people go through because of this mRNA technology, you're going to lose. See, there's something more dangerous that we're facing with now.
Right.
We've never had the capacity to eliminate the genome. It's hard to conceptualize that. We're not talking about physically finding people. When you're talking about the genome sequence and being able to disturb that for generations to come,
right,
you're talking about something that's way more dangerous than anything we faced, which means you can't afford to lose 66 million Russians like the Russians did in the Bolshevik Revolution between the early 1900s and close to the end of the 20th century.
Right.
But they still were able to recover. Yeah, but they didn't have mRNA technology changing what a Russian is.
Right.
We can't afford that. No one can afford that because everybody on the planet is faced with this now. So we have to fast forward our approach of how to deal with them. And if we know what's coming and what the process is, you just cut through all of the other stuff and get to the part that you want to be at.
Right on. Well, Dave Gahari, let's set up this clip because you're a veteran, and so are you, Io, I believe. And
no, I'm not a veteran.
You just worked for the Department of Homeland Security for
a while. Yeah, I was a civilian. I worked in civilian.
Oh, okay. My apologies. But check this out, Sam. If you could cue up clip number 3. So there. This is a gentleman, a veteran, who is just enraged at Target. Because of all they made a big push, satanic tranny, hide your genitalia for like 3-year-old, 5-year-old kids, and all this nonsense. And people everywhere, sane, actual parents, are just outraged. Target, in less than a week, has lost $9 billion with a B dollars in market value. But check out this guy, because this is Memorial Day. He went in looking for any kind of merchandising honoring the fallen veterans, and this guy has righteous indignation.
Memorial Day weekend. Where is the display supporting and showing homage to a men and women at the military? There's nothing. There's a couple of little made in China patriotic pieces of shit here. Where's that? Last week was Cop Week. Did we put a display up supporting our police? No, we didn't. Target, what about November? In November, do we get a veterans display that says proud to be a veteran? No, we do not.
Is there anything I can help you with?
Yeah,
I don't need to scream, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, I just talk loud.
Yeah.
I hope that corporate is watching
this is bullshit.
No problem with the pride section. Take the kids out of it. That's what you have to do. Get rid of the kids' shit that doesn't belong in here. You cater to 0.1%, and 99% of us buy this shit in this store, but that's coming to an end. Corporate better change their fucking ways. You're going to go down like Budweiser.
Okay, Sam, you get the point. And that this is happening thousands of times now each day, and literally in a week. Target and the woke degenerates who run Target and their ESG, environmental social governance score, which is driven by the synagogue of Satan and the usury demons at the World Economic Forum, and are literally destroying. And the tragic element in my mind, first Dave Gahari, then Io, is that this is going to cost hundreds of thousands of people their jobs, because Bud Light is not just swirling in the toilet bowl, it's flush. And Target, how do you lose $9 billion? That's a publicly traded company. How in the world can you lose $9 billion in value in a week? Unbelievable, Dave.
Yeah, I think it's a simple way to handle this. Maybe, 10 years ago, we had, or more, actually more than that, we had a Target store card. And this was before all this crap happened with this ESG and DEI and all this other garbage that the Jews who control these corporations have, and the hedge funds and everything else have foisted upon all of us, because that's what they do. Target had announced that they were creating restrooms, or they were allowing sick males who believed that they were females to use the female restroom.
Right.
That's when I told my wife, I don't want to have anything to do with Target. So this is about 10 years ago, I think, or a little less, actually, when they announced it. So we stopped dealing with Target. I think that what folks need to do is just simply stop dealing with the woke corporations. There are alternatives out there. You can find out simply with a Google search what, you know, which corporations are woke, which are most of them, because they're mostly controlled by the Jew. And you just slowly cut them out, or quickly cut them out. So that's, you know, that was a cool clip. You know, the guy's right. But you have to, you know, make your voice heard with your pocketbook. So we don't deal with Target. We don't deal with Coke. We don't deal with Walgreens, because they did the same thing with their bathroom policy. I think, you know, eventually we'll stop dealing with as many as we can.
Right.
So I think that's the answer.
So once again, you know, blacks used the power boycott much before whites did. So your thoughts on what this gentleman's advocating?
Okay, since I said it before, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, and I'm actually apply it in this case. So the first thing I would say is anybody that's standing up and taking a position, I respect and I appreciate. We need men to stand.
Right.
But now I'm going to go into what I said before, and I'm going to show real time what I'm saying. Okay. I'll go back to something that happened to me in the 90s just to put it in context, and then I'll answer the question. In the 90s, when I was young growing up, when I saw men with locks, it's a certain hairstyle. You see it now. They call it dreads, but we call it locks.
Okay.
When we saw somebody like that, even though we were just some knuckleheads out there, when they walked up, you stiffened your back, and you would be very respectful and pretend like you had some knowledge or whatever, because they were known to be very respectful, knowledgeable, wise people that you don't even understand. They have such courage to wear their hair like that. And what are they going to teach you? And then when they left, then we would do whatever we're doing. But there was a certain thing that you did. I remember distinctly by the late 90s that homosexuals had started getting locks so much that when I saw a brother, a black man with locks, I thought, he a gay dude. And I start realizing that everything that I respected and loved, the homosexuals start getting involved in and taking. And I finally got to the point I realized I can't just give everything away because homosexuals get part of it. I have to understand what's going on. I'm saying that to say I love what the gentleman did. I understand the power of boycott. But I'm talking about fast forwarding. All right. If you go this approach, what will happen is company after company will fall. The good thing about that, you're taking a strong position. The bad thing about that, all the Jew wants is to destroy America. So it doesn't matter to him so much how America is destroyed. When you destroy a company, he's a Jew. He's got so much money, he doesn't care about that company falling. What he does care is all those people who will be homeless and lose their jobs. And now you're creating a bigger problem with issues. And now they're giving that same money that those people will have being employed to people who come across your border. And now they're getting the money and they're giving them your homes and they're creating even greater issues. So, yes, I understand why people are looking at that. But the real solution, people need to be out there saying this Jewish agenda to put this filth among our people, we're not going to tolerate it. Because what does that do? Now the person who works in the store is not being blamed. Now the person in the store can sit there and say, yeah, do what you got to do and not feel like this, because you're not going after them to lose their job. You're now trying to say, who are the Jews that are pushing this in Target? We want to see who's making this decision. We're going to stand in front of Target until we find out who makes this decision. And you're not going to make this because we know this is a Jewish agenda. You're trying to destroy our community. What happens then is when people start talking about them, now they have a real crisis situation, because people aren't looking at the symptom, this being in Target. They didn't even find out who did it. They're blaming the people who are responsible. Now the people who are responsible have to answer. And now other people are going to say, why do you say it's the Jews? Now everybody starts talking about them. And now there's no more long-winded approach to trying to build momentum. Now everybody's looking at what the problem is directly. Now they have to do something to account for it. The reason I say that, I just want to be clear. People are saying stuff that they don't like the fact this war is happening and we should boycott the war. Yeah, that's fine. But as long as the Jews are in executive branch and we accept them having overthrown the republic and using the positions of the executive branch to have the capacity to say that a war can happen, if we do get mad at the quote-unquote government, then that's seditious. However, if we acknowledge the fact that Jews have overthrown the government, we are the government. We're not seditious. The acts of trying to get people killed by launching wars with other countries is seditious in that you've overthrown the republic and the government, which is us. We are not seditious. Now we're not fighting the government. We are the government. And now, again, the Jews are now being pointed at, and they're looked at as the people that are causing the problems. And now people begin to move in not on the war, but on the Jews that are sponsoring the war and saying, why are you Blinken, and why are you Newland, and why are you're doing what the American Republic does not want? The black people, the white people, everybody in this country does not want to go to war with Russia, but you Jews who are trying to do this or there, and you weren't even elected to be in office. That changes everything.
Oh, great point. Actually, that leads right into a clip I have. Sam, if you could cue up clip number 5. And this is the vile, traitorous, butt-ugly, dual citizen, Victoria Noodleman Kaganovich. And she comes right out and says that the U.S., you know, the Jews controlling the United States have been planning the Jew-Ukraine counteroffensive for months. So literally, this is not a proxy war anymore. This is the Jews illegally, like you just said, illegally controlling this government, trying to start World War III. This is just so disturbing. Go ahead, Sam, clip number 5.
And even as you plan for the counteroffensive, which we have been working on with you for some 4 or 5 months, we are already beginning our discussions with the Ukrainian government and with friends in Kyiv, both in the civilian side and on the military side, about Ukraine's long-term future.
That's a short clip, but Dave Gahari and then Io, I mean, my God, these Jews are just, well, they're satanic demons. They're not human, but just they've mass murdered hundreds of thousands of innocent Ukrainians. They're sent like cows to the slaughter. I don't know if you guys have investigated much, but there's some great sites on Telegram that are covering the war the way journalists used to cover wars 40, 50 years ago. And it's just brutal. I mean, Russia has an impressive military operation and NATO doesn't. And so now, but they're already talking about, as she alluded to, you probably both read it as well, that BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street are going to be brought in. So this is going to be Agenda 2030. Ukraine is now going to be the 15-minute cities, going to be everyone's going to have their social credit ID. No hard cash. It's all going to be central bank digital currencies in Ukraine. This is just outrageous. They don't hide it anymore, Dave Gahari.
No, it's really disgusting. I don't even like hearing that creature's voice.
Yeah, me.
I don't like seeing them. I don't really interact with the news. Of course, they're on the internet, but I avert my glance. Like when I see the picture of that that thing that thinks it's the president.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. I avert my glance. I just can't look at it. I don't like to look at them. I don't like to hear them. I put my head down. I'm focused on what we're doing. And what we need to do is we need to fight them the way that we can in an effective way. And I think that having these types of videos is probably one of the most effective ways to do it.
I agree.
Yeah. I think, and again, this goes back kind of to what we're saying here again, so I can go more to what, like, steps ahead. Okay, the objective is for them to have a new homeland, which is right. What? Which is the homeland that you want, Ukraine. They want that to be the new Israel. So what are they doing? Right. They are not going to use their military to go exterminate the Ukrainians. So they just use Russia to do it. So they're getting Russia to exterminate the Ukrainians, and then they're setting up for those that are left their slave system so that when they move to Ukraine, they'll rule it, and they already have their slave system in place with their AI and with the people being under their full control. So, and they're using Russia to do it. And it's not that Russia has an option, because Russia has to defend itself. I'm saying that to say, you said that Russia has an impressive military and NATO doesn't. I'll say it this way. NATO is not using its impressive military because that is not what the Jews want. The Jews interest in having an effective war against Russia at this point, because if they did that, then Russia wouldn't exterminate the Ukrainians. They need enough Ukrainians exterminated so they clean the field. It's like when you develop, you go and clear the field. They need to clear the field, leave enough of them to be their slaves. Then when they make their move from Israel, you'll start to see it probably within the next year. You'll start hearing Jews talk about how it just makes sense for them to go to Ukraine. They'll make up some reason why to go to Ukraine. And you'll start, I mean, like, literally, we'll come back and say, we talked about this last year. Yeah. And they'll start moving to Ukraine in large, massive numbers. And the only way they'll be able to do that is then when they start intensifying the war, getting Russia to fight, not in Ukraine, once they've gotten control of that region. Now with the rest of NATO and the West to now begin to destroy the American Republic. So we have to be careful when these things are happening. Yes, we want people to resist what's happening in Target and Budweiser. I'm 100% on board with it. At the same time, we have to understand it's not that if you don't identify the Jew in this process, you're not winning, because their objective is to collapse not just the economy, the whole society. Right. So when you attack Target and Budweiser, you're attacking industries that exist and employ numbers of people that are American citizens. So They want that. So they're happy that that's happening, because the Jew hasn't been identified. Now, when you identify the Jew, he's not happy about anything, because anything you do that you identify the Jew and you start moving in on them, well, that becomes a problem. Because it goes from a solo, one person, the individuals who are saying it, to a choir. When the everyday person goes into Target and said, this is a Jewish agenda, we are not going to tolerate this. Americans, this is America, not Western Israel. When Americans start talking like that, then they have a huge problem.
There you go.
That's right.
Completely agree. Dave Gahari, we've got about 4 minutes to the top of the hour break. And what struck me in your excellent episode 5, God and Morality, is that most people miss the point that when they're brainwashed into saying Judeo-Christian, which is essentially like an oxymoron. It's like saying devil God, because the deity that the Jews worship has nothing in common with the new covenant of Jesus the Christ and the idea of a loving God. I mean, the Jew worships themselves, basically, because if you read the Talmud, which is their actual operating instructions, all these Jews, it's the Torah. No, actually not. It's been proven that thousands upon thousands of rabbis read the same page out of the Torah, one page a day, every day of the year. They're all in lockstep. They're domestic terrorists invading countries. They're not religious individuals, because they seek to, like the cancer they are eating away at the first world nations, they seek to destroy from within. So I thought that was fascinating, that when you look at the idea of associating the Jew, it has to be done, that they literally worship some evil entity. I mean, Satan means adversary, and it could be Moloch, it could be Baal, B-A apostrophe A-L, could be Baphomet, or all the above. But what they don't worship is any form of a loving God. And so that, to me, if people would just see that, a lot of our efforts would be embraced, and things could get real then.
Yeah, and, you know, again, that is, you know, the purpose of this video series is to introduce these topics to a wider audience. We know from doing this as long as we have, you know, all from different areas. So Io had done what he has done. He's been at this for a couple of decades.
Right.
But in a completely different arena. He's the one who made the decision to link up with the white race, which, you know, all of this is because of that decision to do that. And then he went on that show with a colleague of mine, Nick, and then he told me about it, and I listened to it, and that's when I reached out to Io, and hence, you know, we have, you know, what we have done so far. But I think that, you know, we could talk about all of this stuff really forever. But I think what's important is that all of us are taking the steps to put into concrete form a way that we can increase our numbers, regardless of what race someone might be. Io's obviously smart enough to realize that this isn't a racial thing. You know, he comes from a black nationalist background. I hear the music, so I guess we'll pick it up after that.
We'll pick it up after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned for hour two, and we'll open up the phone lines because I know there's many callers who would like to speak to Dave and Io. So stay tuned after these messages.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.